This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, I'm Sarah Bivens.
And I'm Matthew Bivens.
And this is the Doing It at Home podcast, the only podcast dedicated to empowering, loving, and honest conversations around home birth. What started as a fun way for us to document our own home birth journey has turned into a platform for sharing birth stories, resources, and education with the goal of empowering mamas and families to make the birth decisions that work best for them.
Plus, we get into the antics, breakdowns, and breakthroughs of our own experience of marriage and parenthood.
All right. You ready, babe?
Yep. Let's do it, mama.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the Doing It at Home podcast. It's birth story time, so gather around because it's a great one. Before we hop in, just thank you. Thank you so much for being a part of the community, supporting us in all the ways that you do, whether it's listening to the show, following us on social media, leaving reviews in iTunes, Apple Podcasts, sending us emails, messages, comments, likes, subscribes, all the things. It's just, gosh, it's warms our hearts, both of our hearts, and is just so exciting. It's really such an honor to be doing this. And to, gosh, we've been doing this for 2.5 years now, a little bit more even if you count the recording we did before we launched the show. So it's just tremendously humbling, and we have a lot of gratitude for you. So thank you, and keep doing it. So keep it up. Keep the messages coming. All of your support is so welcome. And all the ways that you can do that, if you go to today's show notes and look at the links, you can see all the ways that you can connect with us, subscribe, how you can listen to the show, especially on the Parents on Demand Network, the app in your iPhone or in your Android phone. You can download it there, listen to the show. That is the network that we are a part of, along with a bunch of other really awesome shows with some amazing content for you in all points of the parenthood journey, from preconception to parenthood. So you can go check that out. You can check out the Doing It at Home shop and get your gear, get your cool shirts, and all of that jazz. And also, while you're at it, if you want to learn more about us personally as individuals, because we are that too, outside of this show and outside of being married to each other and being Maya's parents, which we love, we have a few other things to us as well. So you can go to Matthew's website, that's matthewbivens.com, or my website, sarahbivens.com, and see some of the cool things that we are up to. Like, we each have another podcast that we do on our own. So Matthew has his own show, I have my own show, and then I have a bunch of resources for you mamas to take you beyond the birth experience. And now it's kind of like, now what? I'm a mom. I'm a mother. What does this mean? I have a lot of great content for you in that respect. So what does it mean to be a mother now? What does it mean to have this new sense of identity, this new body? What does it mean to be in touch with my sexuality, my purpose, my passion, all the things in life? You know, that's a lot of stuff to be navigating. So I've got that covered for you. So go check some of that stuff out. And without any further ado, today's birth story. We're chatting with Ruth about her journey to her VBAC, her HBAC actually, so home birth after cesarean. And that journey actually started the day after her first birth, she shares. And that was an unplanned C birth, from which there was some things she kind of had to work through, and some trauma and some a feeling of less than, and some of that challenge that comes when you didn't get the birth that you had in your mind, you know, that you ultimately desired. So working through that and also working through the challenge of being told by multiple doctors that a vaginal birth was not in her future after this cesarean. So she picked herself up and educated herself. She became a doula and she just started crafting what would be her next birth before even becoming pregnant again. And it's just such a beautiful, inspiring journey and story that she shares with us, and how she did that and the resources that she used and how she was ultimately able to create a glorious, victorious, and tremendous experience for her HVAC. So here it is.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Hi, Ruth. Welcome to the podcast. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're fantastic.
Yeah.
And we're excited to chat with you. So thanks again for coming on, Ruth.
I'm so excited to be here and speak about my birth.
Yes. So why don't you kick us off with a little bit about you and your family?
So I live in Los Angeles with my two kids and my husband. I'm also actually a doula and a stay-at-home mom. So my kids are my life, and it's an amazing life. And I'm so blessed to be able to be there and be there for every milestone and moment. And it really means the world to me.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
I love that. And doula, that's so cool. So we'll probably get into that, but when did doula work enter your world?
So I became a doula when I was pregnant with my daughter.
Okay.
I actually attended my first birth when I was 8 months pregnant with her.
Oh, wow. That's so cool. Yeah. Okay, great. Yeah, I want to hear more about that too and see now how that, you know, plays a part and it's like woven into your life and your lifestyle. So two kiddos, two different births. Is that correct?
Two very, very different births.
Yeah, would you mind sharing a little bit, like a little synopsis of that first round, that first pregnancy and birth, and kind of how that set you up to go down a different path?
Sure. So with my son, my firstborn, I had a really easy pregnancy. I really wanted a natural birth. I got a doula. I thought I was doing everything right. And looking back now, I see a lot of the things that I missed. One of the biggest things was my provider. My provider was not supportive and we always constantly were fighting and butting heads and we had different philosophies. So I really wanted a natural birth. I went into labor, had a really long labor, back labor, really strong. Ended up getting an effort and it just, nothing was happening. Nothing was moving. And my doctor came in and said, you could be here for another 7 hours, but I don't think anything's going to change. And I got to full dilation and everything. And she said, I think we should do a C-section. And I was devastated. I was crying. I was beside myself. I didn't know what to do. And finally, I agreed to it, reluctantly. But I didn't know. I really didn't know what to do. And my doctor was saying one thing, and my husband wholeheartedly believed what the doctor was saying was right. And so I felt a lot of pressure and I conceded. It wasn't an emergency, thank God, but it was definitely, it needed to happen for some reason. I'm still not sure what exactly that reason was. But that really, I don't even know how to describe it. It really changed me. It was something that I really did not want. I came home very depressed. And I felt almost less than. I really wanted this powerful birthing experience that I did not get. Even though I had a very easy C-section, a very easy recovery, I was walking within a few hours after my C-section. I recovered really well. So health-wise, I was amazing. But everyone kept saying, you know, healthy baby, healthy mom, that's all that matters. And for me, that's not all that mattered. And no one, it was really hard at first because nobody understood where I was coming from. And no one understood that I was grieving this loss of this birth and this moment that I envisioned most of my life, by saying, it's okay, you're healthy, thank God, that's all that matters. So for me, that wasn't all that mattered. And I hear that a lot from other women, because I'm involved with a lot of women who have C-sections who struggle with it. And it does matter. It's a very emotional, moving moment for a woman, her birth. So that spurred me into literally the day I got home. Even before, I was sitting in the hospital bed and I asked my doctor, oh, can I have, what about the next birth? Can I have a vaginal birth? And she said, I don't know, but you could probably have up to 5 C-sections. So she already wrote me off as never being able to have a vaginal birth.
Oh, yeah. My gosh.
Wow.
Yeah.
Ah. And did she have any reasons, or at the time, you know, did you go further into that? You know, what was just the her confidence in the idea that it wouldn't be possible for you right then and there?
I never asked her about that moment.
Okay.
But I did go a couple times to see her postpartum, and I asked about it, and she looked over the notes and she was saying my son's heartbeat went down, which no one ever told me. She later told me that I went back in dilation, so I was fully dilated, and then I regressed back to 7 or 8 centimeters. And she just said, you know, he was a big baby. Even before, I just remembered, even before he was born, I didn't want to get any ultrasounds. And she kept pushing and pushing and pushing. So finally at 37 weeks, I got one. And she was like, you need to get one because if you have a 10-pound baby, I'm not going to make you push that baby out. We'll schedule a C-section. So even before that, she already had in her head that it's probably going to be a C-section.
Yeah. Yeah. So how did that feel, kind of, that this person who's there to support you, you know, through this journey and through this experience, like everything was just kind of saying in so many words, you know, I don't trust your body to do X, Y, and Z. Like, that's what it just sounds like, the message that was being communicated, like your body is, we can't bank on that.
For sure. I tried to switch doctors at 37 weeks when she told me that, because I left crying. And I even went back to her my next appointment, and I said, you can't do that to a woman. You can't tell a woman that.
Right.
Like, you know how important it is for me to have this birth, and you can't do that. It's not okay to do that. She didn't apologize or anything. But it, you know, I actually went back to her after my daughter was born, and I made a point to go there specifically to tell her that I had a vaginal birth.
Wow.
She didn't believe in me. Yeah.
What did she have to say after that?
She genuinely, to her credit, she genuinely was really happy for me.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's cool.
It was
cool.
Really amazing to see that, because she was so genuine that she was happy for me. She was not happy I had a birth at home, but
right.
She genuinely happy for me.
Wow. That's so cool that you could be that example for her, you know? And, you know, no matter how big of an impact it makes, but who knows, right? Like, who knows down the road how she might approach another mama differently, or she at least has that possibility in her mind now that you've been the example of. I think that's really powerful, you know, and I think that's going to show up for her in other ways, you know, consciously, subconsciously, but to be that, I think, is so cool.
That's why I did it. That was one of the big reasons why I did it. Because I want her to know that my body was not broken, that I am capable, and not to just write off a woman because you may have a feeling or this or that. But she had a feeling with me, and it was wrong. And she was not the only doctor who told me that, because I went to another woman because I had mastitis, another OB, another local OB, and I told her my birth story because I was still grieving it. And she said, you know, I said to her, do you think I could have a VBAC? And she said, my gut feeling is no.
Wow.
And I was devastated.
Yeah.
And so my journey to my daughter's birth started the day I got home from the hospital, because I still didn't let any of that deter me. The day I got home from my son's birth at home, I started looking up VBAC, and I found ICANN, International Cesarean Awareness Network.
Yeah.
And I joined their Facebook group, and I started to learn, and I started to educate myself and be, I started reading tons of books. I think that was a huge thing for me with my first birth, was I was kind of naive, and I kind of felt that I didn't want to know too much because I was afraid it would scare me. And so I learned that education is actually power, and I really became, I feel very educated, and I still have so much to learn. There's still so much out there. And I started listening to people's birth stories, and I became a doula, to gain more knowledge and more power, to hopefully affect my daughter's birth. That was one of the big things behind becoming a doula, and also to be able to support women, because my doula actually was, she was very helpful during my birth, even though it did not go the way I wanted. And I really felt that every woman should have that support. And I fell in love with birth after just learning more and more about it, because the birth I had with my son was not, even though it was birth, it just wasn't what I had envisioned. And so I needed to recreate my relationship with labor and birth and pregnancy and everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Just like a rewiring of all of it. And I love that you shared the journey to your second birth started the day after your first. I think that's so cool. I think that's such a beautiful context and way to look at it in terms of, you know, the entirety of the experience. That was really impactful for me, the way that you described that.
Yeah, the second I got into my bed when I got home after I took a short nap, I opened my phone because, you know, new moms never sleep.
Yeah.
And I immersed myself, and that was it. And I was off.
Mm.
And I've never stopped since.
Wow. So when did you decide that you were going to be doing a home birth when, you know, you and your husband became pregnant again?
So I honestly decided before I got pregnant. I really, after learning and educating myself and really analyzing my first birth, I really felt the place I would be most successful would be at home. I was really nervous about it. I didn't know if I would be successful. So I emailed, there's a doctor in LA, he's an OBGYN, and he only does home births, and he specializes in VBAC, breech births, and twin births at home. And so he has a podcast, and I was listening to his podcast religiously, and I emailed him, and I said, I gave him a little backstory, and I said, do you think I would be successful? And in short words, he said, I think you would be a good candidate. I think you would be successful. And I remember reading that email in my car, and I was just in tears because finally somebody believed in me, and someone who I knew, if he told me I could, then I knew I could.
Because
this is his expertise. And I was just, I felt like finally there's some hope, finally. And so after that, I was like hell-bent on having a home birth. My husband was really against it. He grew up in England, and doctors there, when a doctor tells you something, you believe them. You never question it. And I grew up the complete opposite way. I question every doctor and anything they tell me. And so he was really, really against it. And I was scared. I was nervous. I didn't know what to do. And then I got pregnant with my daughter, and I finally said, you know, we need to figure this out. And so I made him watch the movie, The Business of Being Born. And he finally understood where I was coming from. I'd been telling him these things for so long, but he thought I was a little over the top. And he saw the movie and he said, wow, I finally understand where you're coming from. He felt that it was a little exaggerated to their needs, and that hospitals would have something else to say. But he finally understood where I was coming from and agreed to meet. We were going to meet with this OBGYN who does home birth and with a midwife. So we met with both. And he felt comfortable. And so I actually had them both on my team because the doctor here, he works with midwives. He never goes to a birth without a midwife. So it's him and a midwife assistant. So we decided to have him. And actually also the midwife that I met with, because I knew they worked together. And I really started to build my birth team. And it was an amazing birth team.
Sounds like it.
And yeah. I was very lucky. I'm very lucky to have a lot of options. Very expensive options.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
But lots of options here.
Yeah. Yeah. Stacked birth team. I love it.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's skylightcal.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
So when did your husband fully come around, or did he fully come around?
So I think after the birth, he fully came around. And he realized how much he enjoyed it, because he did not necessarily like being in the hospital. You know, after a few hours, he ordered sushi. He was walking around. He was up for so long. And then you have like a cot to sleep on.
Yeah.
You know, there was nowhere for him to sleep. So he enjoyed being at home and being in his space. He could go in and out and do what he needed. So for him, in the end, I think he really enjoyed the experience. And I think he had to go through the whole experience after the birth to really appreciate it and enjoy it.
I get that. And that's real. And that, you know, that's his process and his experience of it. So that's what it is, right? And now he's like all on board. That's so cool. So then can you walk us through, you know, the last couple weeks of pregnancy and then take us into birthing time?
Yeah. So overall, I had a very easy pregnancy. Thank God. I was very lucky with both my pregnancies. Towards the end, I was just, you know, I was taking care of my son, keeping busy, and really just getting ready for this birth. I was so determined, and I knew, like, I was so nervous that if I had a C-section, I don't know what it would have been to me, because I didn't have the experience, but it would have been really, really hard for me. But I also knew that I was giving myself the best possible chance to have the birth that I dreamed of. So I knew in the end that if I had to have a C-section, it would be okay, because I knew I would have done everything I could. I was going to prenatal yoga, and I was 39 weeks and 6 days. Sunday morning, I went to yoga, and I don't know what she had us do, but she had us doing these poses and these like group exercises, and I was feeling a lot of pressure. And I went home, and I was having a lot of pressure, and I said, you know, I'm going to call my doula. I have a very high pain tolerance, so I didn't want to alert anybody too soon, but everyone told me to keep them in the loop. So I tried really, really hard to let people know what was going on. So I texted my doula, and she said, you know, you should let your midwife and Dr. Sue know. So, I texted them and I said, just to let you know, there's like a lot, I'm feeling a lot of pressure and maybe a few contractions, waves here and there, but nothing to write home about. I just wanted to let you know. And so they said, okay, we'll see how things go. And if not, we'll see you next week. You know, they didn't think anything of it. And I went about my day. I think we went out as a family. I took a nap that afternoon. And then at night we were sitting down to watch TV and I saw like an ad for like Mediterranean food. And I was great. I was like, okay, we have to order falafel. I want falafel. And I had chicken soup.
Nice.
and I was still getting like contractions here and there, but nothing too serious. And then we went into bed and we watched a show and I said, okay, I'm going to go to sleep. And my midwife was texting me and she said, how's it going? I said, it's going fine. And we're going to go to sleep now. She said, well, if you can't sleep, like go take a bath and that should slow things down and it'll be okay. So this was like 11 o'clock at night. I got into bed and I look at my husband and I said, I cannot sleep. There's no way I'm sleeping. I have to go take a bath. So I went into the bath and I was just relaxing and I was texting my doula, telling her what was going on. And she said, you want me to come? And all of a sudden my contractions went from like 10, 15 minutes apart. So 2 to 3 minutes apart.
Mm.
And got really intense. And I said, yes. So she came and I said, you have to call Bliss, the midwife. You have to tell her to come. She has to come now. So she called her and told her to come. And I said, you need to set up. I need to get in the tub. You have to set up the tub. So they're setting up the tub and I'm laboring on the side and I'm moaning and screaming and being very, very vocal, which I never thought I would be because I was so embarrassed. But I was very vocal and asking it to stop and to asking God to get this baby out of me. And I just want this baby out of me nonstop. And finally, like, the tub was, like, a quarter of the way full, and I said, I'm getting in. I have to get in. So I got in, and then my midwife came, and she said, have you checked yourself? And I said, no. She said, do you want to? And I said, no. And she said, do you want me to? And I said, sure. And so she said, you're nine centimeters with a little bit of a lift, and your baby is at a negative one station.
Oh, wow.
And I was... Yeah, I was over the moon. That was farther. My son never got past the zero station.
Mm.
So that to me was like, whoa, this is happening. I'm doing this. This is amazing. And so I kept laboring and my doula kept putting counter pressure on my back. And I kept asking this baby to come out of me and saying, I was saying, I don't want to do this anymore. And my husband, he told me afterwards that he was there thinking, like, you better do this because if she doesn't get this birth, like, I don't know what I'm going to do with her. Like, if she needs this birth, like,
yeah.
We're not going anywhere. She's getting this birth now. Which I thought was so funny because he came in and out the whole time. I didn't necessarily, he's not the kind of hands-on person to really... to be there in the birth, that he was really present emotionally, and he was there.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was so supportive. Mm. And I was in the tub laboring, and I was facing away from everybody. I was covering my face with a cold washcloth. Like, I didn't want to see anybody. And I even remember at one point saying to my midwife and my doula who were sitting right there, I said, with the next one, I want an epidural. And they both looked at me and they said, okay. And they smiled and they said, okay. Because I knew I couldn't go anywhere. And I knew, because I had an epidural with my first, so I knew the difference.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that I would want it. But thank God I was at home, so I didn't get it.
Right.
And so I was there and I was laboring and... The midwife assistant was measuring the baby's heart rate. And all of a sudden, like, I heard them say, like, Ruth, let's switch positions. So I knew something was happening. Her heart rate wasn't, something was off. So I switched positions. I was almost hyperventilating. And they, from everything to the pushing, I was pushing at this point. My body naturally just took over. And I just started to push. And I heard my midwife say, well, that's my cue.
Mm-hmm.
And I turned over and her heart rate steadied. And within like maybe 5 minutes after changing position, I felt her head crown. Well, I did. The midwife said, Ruth, her head is there. Do you want to feel it? And I went down and felt her head and I was like, oh my gosh. And I jumped back. It was such a surreal experience to feel her head. I was like, I don't even know the words. I was like an amazement. I was shocked. I was so, everything was like crazy. I didn't even know what was happening.
Wow.
And then within another push or two, she was out, and the midwife put her on my chest, and I didn't know. We kept the gender a surprise, so I didn't know. And my husband was supposed to announce it, and he's like, I can't see, I can't see. And so I went around and I felt her, and I was feeling, and I was like, oh my gosh, it's a girl. And it was the most glorious, victorious, tremendous experience and feeling I think I've ever felt in my life. And I felt so strong, and I just kept saying, I did it, I did it. I was beyond proud. Like, I was beaming. It was that moment when she, like, when she came out and she was on my chest, it was on another world experience. The oxytocin release, the high, I was like in beyond, high up in the sky, beyond cloud nine. There's no way to even describe it. It was the most amazing experience I've ever experienced in my life. So triumphant.
That's amazing.
So beautiful. Gosh. Like, yeah. Like that total affirmation in like, I see a visual as you described all of that, and not saying that not any of this will ever resurface or pop up, or you might not feel some type of way about it, you know, at some point in the future. But I just saw all of the past stuff just getting like washed away by this giant tidal wave in that moment, you know, just all of the stuff, like none of that was present there in that moment as you, you know, bathed in that glory.
For sure. Everything was washed away, and I needed it. I needed that birth, and so badly. And it's so funny because their labors were so similar. I had the same back labor. They were so similar. And I really got to overcome it and really prove to myself the strength I have inside of me and this power that I have.
That's amazing.
And I still draw on it today.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's within you. It's within you. And I get it. I get it now. You know, at the beginning of your story, you shared that, you know, when you did have your daughter, you went back to that doctor just to be like, I did it.
Yeah.
And I get it. It makes so much sense. I mean, what an incredible journey and process and experience for you. You know, it's amazing that you have this beautiful daughter. Yeah. But it's like for you, you know, that's so awesome.
Yeah. And in a graceful way with the doctor too, not just like in your face, you know. Like,
yeah.
I needed to check something, and you know, I told her. And by the way, you know, in the end, I had a vaginal birth, and she was so excited. And I said at home, she's like, "Well, that I don't agree."
Yeah,
with.
Yeah, yeah. Oh wow!
But, you know, I wanted to shout it from the rooftops because my whole pregnancy, I didn't tell anybody I was having a home birth. I was really quiet about it. And whenever anyone asked me where I was delivering, the hospital near us was called Tarzana Hospital, and we live in Tarzana. So I would always say in Tarzana because that wasn't lying because we live in
there
Tarzana.
There you go.
In Tarzana.
Yeah. Nice.
Your doctor. I said, I haven't decided yet. You know, I don't know yet. You know, I'm still deciding. I kept I was very ambiguous about it. I didn't tell anybody.
Yeah, that's funny.
It's not the norm.
Right. Like, la, la, la. I don't know. I'm just hanging out here. Oh, my gosh.
Now, did your husband get sushi again after your daughter was born?
Most important question of the day.
No, he did not get sushi.
Okay. That's all right. Thanks, Matthew. So how does this two very different births impact your doula work now, or when you are attending births, or just supporting women or having conversations in general? You know, what do you take from that, and how does that show up?
So honestly, it gives me a really well-rounded viewpoint. I'm able to offer support in a way that I don't think I would be able to if I just had a vaginal birth. I think that I have a lot deeper understanding for what women go through. I'm able to honor what more so what's going on with them and what's happening with them, which I think my second birth allowed me to do as well, that I'm able to honor their experience, knowing that birth can be so many different ways, and to honor what it is that is their dream. I always tell women when I meet with them, it's not about what I did or what I want in my birth, because what I want and what you want are going to be two different things. I want to honor your dream. I want to make your dream come true.
Yes.
So that's something that's really important to me when I'm doing birth work and working with women, is to educate them and to give them resources, because from my first birth, it really, had I not had that experience, one, I don't think I would ever become a doula, and I would have never looked further into it. I would have been like, oh yeah, great, I did it. And I never would have gotten the chance to really educate myself and be able, and therefore be able to educate women on their choices. I'm really big into informed consent. And I give them options, because they aren't always given options. Mm-hmm. And that's super, super important to me, because I didn't know enough, I feel, with my first. And I really want to be able to be there for women and support them to achieve their dream birth and what they want, and make sure that at the end of the day, they feel empowered, and that they truly made the choice that they felt was right, that I didn't necessarily have at the end of my first birth.
That's a beautiful way to take your experiences and be able to hold that space for the women that you work with. That's really amazing.
Yeah, I'm very lucky and blessed to be able to do that. Mm. It's been a long journey.
Yeah.
To be able to get to that.
Definitely. Wow. Well, I'm just so grateful that you took the time and energy to share that journey with us, and to be here now, you know, an example in this community with which people can, women, families, partners can draw from, can be inspired by, even care providers can be inspired by this.
Yeah.
And so I'm just so grateful to you in that sense for being here with us and sharing your story.
Thank you so much. It was really an honor to be able to share my birth. It's something that's really special to me, and I'm so excited to be able to share it, because I haven't really shared it with so many people. So I'm really, really honored. And I thank you for your podcast and really the work that you guys do, because you are bringing a beautiful light to home birth and really to birth in general, and just inspiring and putting education out there and knowledge. And I think it's so, so, so important.
Quick note about the Doing It at Home podcast. Matthew and I are not doctors or medical professionals, and nothing we say should be taken as medical advice or opinion. If you have medical or health-related questions, please take them to a trained professional. We're here simply to entertain you with stories and conversations about pregnancy, birth, and parenthood.
Does your father know you're listening to this podcast? Well, when you're done, why don't you stop by and check out a show that is 100% dad-approved, Dadages. Hi there, I'm Chad Higley. If you're looking for useful insights and practical advice you can actually apply to work, family, education, philanthropy, and just life in general, check out Dadages. That's Dadages, wherever you listen to your podcasts.